Kicking off hour number two of the program, this segment brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out.
I like to throw a dumbbell at you two morons.
Check them out. Six area locations all around the Carolinas, Chattanooga, all across the Southeast. They got you covered. Tell them you heard about them right here on Three and Out and Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Gold's Gym, the official gym of Three and Out.
A lot of people saying things like, don't break up. Guys, that was nothing. We work with each other every day. Everything we say on this show is mostly in fun. You should see what we say to each other when the mics are off or we're out in the main room here. That's when it gets serious.
Andrew says, if we win by 21, I will, for the first time in a long time, actually have confidence that this ship is moving in the right direction.
And what Nate is saying is, no, don't have confidence. It wouldn't mean anything.
That's not what I'm saying.
It's basically what you said. You just said, if that were to happen, that doesn't mean Tennessee's good. It means fluky things probably happened. Did you not just say that in the last segment? Don't try to mind gymnastics backwards on this thing. Is that what you said?
Is Florida quitting fluky? Is Florida quitting in the game fluky?
I mean, you're one coach. Yeah, it's kind of fluky. I guess a little bit, maybe.
Saw Vontae Davis do it last week.
If so, then sure. But
they've never quit against Tennessee.
What, Florida hasn't?
Mm-mm. If anything, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Tennessee usually quits against Florida.
Well, okay. I think I would feel really, really... See, if you want initial reaction, and I guess that's part of the problem, and you said during the break, I got too mathy with it. If you want the initial reaction, yeah. We win by 21, yes. You might as well celebrate to the max. Because as we started the show with, this is the game. If you could only pick one game week and one game to experience from this season before the whole thing started, you would have picked this week. This was the one that, even before the season, when you thought Florida might be a little better, this is the one that you probably said, you know, gosh, if we could go in as an underdog, and Tennessee is, and win a game in Neyland Stadium over Florida in Dan Mullen's first year and Jeremy Pruitt's first year, that's the one I'd want to experience. That's the one I'll put my heart on the line for. You know, I'm not gonna sweat over the Alabama game. I'm not gonna get, I'm not gonna feel good beating any of these three cupcakes on the schedule. I don't want to take a sure win game because I know what's gonna happen there. This would have been the one because it's in the toss up category. It's a team you usually want to beat the most or second or third most on the schedule every year, regardless of decade even. And sure, yeah. Go crazy if you win by 21. But I think that's all. The way I think is I always kind of spin that forward. I will say, to Andrew's point, if you win by 21, and I think this is kind of part of what you were saying too, Houston, it would make me feel a whole lot better. Not better. It would validate some of my positive thoughts about the coaching staff.
Yeah, I will say that would not necessarily make me sold on Jeremy Pruitt. I would not be 100% in, but I think a lot of people would be, and I think everybody would say that's something that I didn't see from a lot of coaches here in year one.
You're not going to win. You're not going to blast Florida without executing pretty
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
I mean, even
I
if they make some mistakes, you're still going to have to be playing really, really well. So to get this team, whatever talent level you think it's at, I don't know, give it a number, whatever.
No one knows.
They're still going to have to play really disciplined, execute almost flawlessly to put it on Florida that way. And after we've seen them, Jeremy Pruitt wasn't happy with the last game against UTEP. So for them to put it all together in the one game where you are dying for them to do so, that would say a lot about how the coaches prepare their team for the game.
Glad you agree with me.
Let's go to the phone lines. We got Chuck in Atlanta. How's it going, buddy?
See, this is what happens when you say that you hate Happy Houston.
You get mad, Houston.
Oh, I've enjoyed this show much more than normal. This is my favorite. This is my favorite one the last couple weeks.
I'm glad you have, because I haven't enjoyed it.
Oh.
How am I going to explain to my children that the Three and Out crew got into an argument over blowing out Florida?
That's what. Thank you, Chuck.
How does? No. Houston,
oh.
You're not resolved with this.
Oh. Sorry.
You're just as fault. How do you guys
it's
have
like a marriage,
argument?
Houston. Both people are at fault if it fails. You can't be one or the other.
This is Chuck the counselor calling in. And I'm like, yeah, see? That's what I mean. He's like, no.
It is their fault.
Here are all of your flaws.
Yeah. Stop pointing fingers. All right? If we blow out Florida, then we celebrate that, and it's a big deal. And I guess, Nate, you're talking about a little bit of how that blowout could occur. Do we execute? Do we look like a great team from beginning to end and don't make any mistakes? Or is it fluky? Does Florida just put the ball on the ground 7 times and we just capitalize and it goes that way? To me, I don't really care, because if we win, then it just means I got my money worth for those tickets, even though they're free. But that's beside the point. I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to have a good time. But it doesn't mean that Georgia's in trouble and we are all of a sudden going to have a great year after beating a trash Florida team.
Yeah, and I agree with that completely. Like, I don't think that even – seriously, Chuck, you could beat them by 50, and I don't all of a sudden think, you're gonna go 8-4. But I do think that it does put you obviously one game closer to a bowl game, and we know that in the East right now – Tennessee is towards the bottom, but we know that if all things are kind of equal, that you're going to be battling year in and year out with Georgia and Florida and South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. They're going to have their ups and their downs, but the reality is that Georgia and Florida, those are the teams you battle with. And beating Mullen in year one, is it a game changer? Not necessarily, but it does give you, you know, at least an immediate kind of crown on the top of the head when you're talking about pecking order in the East.
Thanks for agreeing with us from last week, Houston, when Matt called in and we made that point.
I agree with that then as well. Don't fight in the middle of counseling, please.
Guys, hey. Go to your separate corners, okay?
I can still throw things from there.
Wait till tomorrow. You got ping pongs to hit, okay? Chill out.
Poor Davey.
That's just to me.
Yeah, I'm going to take out my frustration with Nate on Davey.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, sorry. All right, David.
It's all good.
It's the children, Chuck, that always suffer.
Yeah, I know. It's not your fault, David. Whatever you do, don't blame yourself. I think with this game, I think it's going to come. It'll come down. We'll finally see if we can coach our way to a win. Because I think on the field, you can't really compare talent or which teams necessarily are better. Both teams are pretty subpar. And we saw in 4 consecutive years in the Tennessee and Florida game that the coaching lost us in most cases.
Yep.
Where we have every opportunity to win, and the coaching cost us those games. So this will be the time. This will be the game. I think that's what makes this game so big, is do we have the coaching wherewithal to kind of pull off that win? Because everything else is pretty even and fair. It's Dan Mullen's first year, regardless of him being head coach for a lot longer. But with what they have to work with, can Jeremy Pruitt and can this staff put a game plan together, and can they make adjustments when necessary to pull off a win? This will be the time it'll be their coaching audition, I think, for us.
I agree with that 100%. And I think the first half against West Virginia, you got a taste of that. I think West Virginia is pretty good, Chuck, but in this game, I think it really will be a 4-quarter chess match between Mullen and his coaches and Pruitt and his coaches. I don't know where the talent levels on these two teams stack up as compared to each other. I don't know if Florida, 1 through 22 on both sides of the ball is slightly ahead or behind where Tennessee is. But I do think it's close enough to where coaching will matter a ton in a game like this. And I will say, Jeremy Pruitt, wherever you think the talent lies, he does have one inherent advantage, and that is that you get this game at home in front of what will be, without question, the craziest crowd all season, and probably one of the craziest and loudest since Oklahoma 2015, because I think people are trying to get excited. I think they want to believe. I know the crowd for ETSU and UTEP wasn't great, but I think this is the one that, as we've kind of alluded to this morning, that people have circled on the calendar, and especially now that you see Florida is a very beatable team, Jeremy Pruitt has, I'm with you, man. This is a big stage for him to come out and give us some data, some details as to what kind of coach he's going to be in big games and just as a head coach for the first time.
Yeah, and I'll be there, and I can't wait to tailgate all day. And I know everybody's been looking forward to that, having this night game. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and people will be loud, and the crowd is going to be great, and the scene is going to be a great, great atmosphere. So looking forward to it.
Great. We'll see you Saturday, buddy.
All right, see you.
A great basketball coach once told me, said,
you're gonna slap the floor before defensive possessions.
I didn't tell that. That's probably a Davey story, but
I figured you had a coach that told you that.
No.
What were you gonna say, Nate, before Houston rudely interrupted you?
Box out.
Well,
I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Go
all
ahead.
The time.
Go
ahead. But said, you know, most of the games you coach, you're. Team's either going to be so much better than the other team, you're going to win, or so much worse than the other team, you're going to lose, and nothing you can really do is going to make a difference. There's only that kind of middle range of games where the coaching will decide whether you win and whether you lose. And I think what we've established over the last 30 minutes or so is that we all see this game as a game where that it's in that window, especially because
We think that to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think both of these teams have a very wide range of how they may play on
a given
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just this one specifically, or just any Saturday?
Well, yeah, probably any Saturday.
Outside of elite teams.
But definitely
probably.
But definitely this one. I mean, if they're, you know, if both these teams are a 70 in college football, you know, if Alabama's 99 and both these teams are a 70 or whatever, like, they could both play a 49 game probably, and they could probably both play a 79 game, you know. Like, so I don't, I just it. The
did
unknown.
Did you mean 89? Or we can only?
Yeah, probably 89.
Okay,
I don't know. Whatever.
I was gonna
it doesn't
say.
Matter.
Why is our floor 20 points lower than?
I
our
think
ceiling?
Both these teams' floor is a lot lower than their ceiling. Like
ceiling
if you
is
wanna,
the roof.
I didn't know if maybe that was unintentional. So okay, just making sure.
Yeah, I mean, I
they kind of are what they are, unless they're not, but they can be way worse.
I think both these rosters are scarred by the – I mean, they're both completely scarred by the previous regime, coaching staff, turmoil, drama. I mean, Florida's got injuries. They got, like,
off
court
the field
cases
stuff, yeah.
With Tabang. I mean, Tennessee has all the Butch Jones, you know, scarring from coaching, development. I mean, all of that stuff kind of gets wrapped into it, and – yeah, I mean, either one of these teams could come out and completely lay an egg. If either does that, good grief.
You're like in the middle of a pretty good point.
If either does that, it's an indictment against that coaching staff, at least for that day. I mean, it maybe not ultimately. I mean, maybe it's just too hard to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But if both the teams show up, it's going to be the X's and O's that probably decide who wins and who loses. And I guess it's hard for me to operate in a world where one team wins by 21 because, in my mind, that's not the most likely scenario. The most likely scenario here is that both teams are prepared as well as they can be, because I do think Dan Mullen's better than Jim McElwain. I do think Jeremy Pruitt is light years better than Butch Jones, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're both dealing with issues.
Yeah.
That they didn't really inherit, and they're both trying to kind of.
I would say that they did inherit that
right,
they
right.
didn't
that they didn't deserve to inherit.
Yeah,
I guess
yeah.
is what I was trying to say. I mean, they're both kind of like just sticking fingers in the dam and trying to, or maybe it's more like they're duct taping their soapbox car up as best they can, and then they're gonna set it down and let it roll and see what happens. You know, like that's kind of what we're going into, and so, I mean, if it's close. And maybe even if it's not, it says a lot about both these coaching staffs getting their teams prepared and then the chess match within the game. Let's go to Rusty on the McKinney team hotline, 865-546-8200 if you want to join the program. What's up, Rusty?
Guys, I'll tell you where I'm at on this game. I have become, you know, Nate, you were just talking about the players. You know, they're scarred from the previous regimes. I was so scarred. I am so scarred as a Tennessee fan of, let's see, I'm 41 years. I am so scarred. My wife turns to me about 5-6 weeks ago and says, hey, I can get tickets for you to take the kids and myself and us go up to a game in Knoxville. to one of two games. She said, I can get tickets to the Florida game, or we can go see UTEP. And the deal was, is we were going to have to fly, and it was going to be hotels. And I said, I cannot go all that way, sit in the stadium, and watch us lose. So we enjoyed our trip to UTEP this past weekend a whole lot. As far as the game on the field, frankly, I do think the talent levels on these teams are equal. If not, Tennessee, we actually may be more talented, especially from recruiting's rankings. I think this game this weekend, this is going to so come down to coaching. Now, what gives me hope and encouragement is that when we were sitting in the stadium on Saturday, even against a really bad football team, it was really interesting to watch the in-game adjustments. I guess, again, just going back to the scars, I'm so accustomed to watching a Tennessee team make dumb mistakes over and over and over and over again, and no one fix it. It was interesting to watch, you know, that things were getting corrected on the sideline. There was tangible coaching taking place in-game.
Very tangible. Yeah, very hands-on, you know, yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, so as I don't know what to expect. Personally, I think a 21-point victory either way, I don't see it in this. That's not the history of this rivalry. And quite frankly, if you do say 21 points to me, I'm probably going to assume that Florida's beaten us by 21. That's more in line with the history of the series, but I don't think anyone knows what this Tennessee team is yet. I think we've got a better idea watching Florida of what they are than what we are. I still don't know. But, you know, just to kind of wrap this up, thank you guys. Y'all have no idea how fun y'all made this trip for us because of your sponsors. We went and I attempted to take my family, and we tried to hit every Fox Sports sponsor that we could. I treated them to, you know, we tried to do it all, man. We went to Admiral Vet at Watt Road just to honor the Godfather there and his fantastic commercial. But, you know, we went and got Sweet Peas Barbecue, you know, Alumni Hall. Now, the Alumni Hall thing was interesting, though, because, again, going back to starring, I am so excited to take my kids into a sea of orange in Alumni Hall. We walk in, and I am proud to be there. It is so much orange that a blind man can see, almost. And I was so excited, so jacked up. I walk in, and the first thing that's playing over their loudspeakers is Country Road, Take Me Home.
Oh.
So I spent the remainder of our time in Alumni Hall curled up in the fetal position, oh, screaming, no, Will, don't throw another touchdown underneath a rack of shirts. But
how did that happen?
Absolutely fantastic time, and you know, just it was a wonderful trip. But I hope we do good this week. I still don't know what to expect from this team, though, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Rusty. My goodness,
checks in the mail.
What a call!
He lives in Florida.
That's crazy.
I don't know what
Rusty,
to say.
Just hitting up the sponsors.
I'm not crying. You're crying, Rusty. Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate all you guys who support the sponsors and make our little radio shows possible. Going back to the game points,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's why, to me, when the conversation kind of first got brought up by Matt, you know, what does it mean if it's a 21-point win? That, to me, I'm with you, Nate. Like, you can win a game by 21 when things go fluky, and it's great and it's fun and it's wild. But you can also come out, even a not great team can come out and just kind of have really good game plans. I mean, I don't think 21 is an unreachable number if Tennessee can run the ball really well, if they can protect the ball and play good defense. So I guess that's why, to me, I think that would mean that Jeremy Pruitt earned it a little bit, that the coaches earned it, and that maybe some of the question marks we've had to this point in the season were answered positively by the play on the field Saturday night, because I don't think you can win by 21 if you're Tennessee not running the football, not protecting the quarterback, not playing really good defense, not being sound in the kicking game. And so all those things, to me, at least right now, based on what we have, because we don't have a Joshua Dobbs who's going to bail you out, right? We don't have a Cam Sutton who can break a punt return and bust a game wide open. We don't have an Evan Berry who can take a kickoff to the house at any time. We don't have a Derek Barnett who can just swing around the end and sack fumble somebody at any given moment in the game. To beat a team by 21, this Tennessee team has to play damn near perfect football. And that might be to beat anybody by 21, not named ETSU or UTEP. And so that's why, to me, when Matt said, if Tennessee wins by 21, what's your emotion? I think that's a big deal. Because I think Tennessee can win this game, and you know, win close, win by 3-2, a touchdown, a field goal, maybe a touchdown and a field goal, and not dominate. To win by 21, the way Tennessee plays and what they have kind of at different spots across the roster, I think that means that they had to play perfect football. And to me, that just means that Jeremy Pruitt and that staff coach their ass off. And to me, that would be exciting. And frankly, they could do that and not win by 21. 21 was just the number Matt gave us. They could do that and win by 14 or 17. Or hell, maybe Florida's actually better than we think, and they could do that and win by 7. I mean, I thought Butch Jones coached circles around Mark Richt in 2013, and you lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
So to win by 21, and that's why I went with my kind of emotion in response to that number, was because that means Tennessee, under Jeremy Pruitt, in their first really big game, came out and did everything right. And that, to me, would be very exciting based on, you know, kind of the last, oh, I don't know, decade.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Had some good calls from Chuck and Rusty.
And Matt.
And Matt. Yeah. Matt's hypothetical. It's
been the topic of the show.
It's true.
And the topic of your tongue lashings that I've been giving you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just dunking on you like Sean Kemp.
I saw that tweet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I wasn't tagged in it, but I saw it come through. That's all slide on through the tweet deck.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Let's go back to the McKinney team hotline. We got Zach on the horn. Davey, can we go to Zach now?
I usually hit it, and then you say, Zach, how you doing? Or something like that. Line. I'm paying attention. All right. I don't know.
He's tweeting or tendering or something.
He's at least looking at the computer instead of the phone, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one.
He just got apps now on his computer.
The McKinney team hotline. We got Zach. What's up, Zach?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Morning, bud.
So here's my pet peeve sometimes when people say that we don't have any talent. I define talent as athletic ability. It's kind of like, you know, when you project a draft pick, you're projecting him to be an all-star. You're projecting him to, you know, be a solid role player. So when you take Tennessee and what we have right now, the recruiting stats don't really lie from, you know, Lyle's era. But at the same time, when you get these guys that are freshmen, they're five-star recruits, and you do not develop them, you do not coach them, you do not tell them how to play the game of football, their talent is still there. It's just that they're still at the freshman level, but they're a junior. Does that make sense? And
yeah.
So when people say, like, oh, this team has no talent, it's like, that is literally not true. They just have not been coached to, rush the passer and, tackle well in the secondary or play the ball in the secondary. Like, that's all comes with coaching, not necessarily, I don't think, talent. I think we have a very talented team. For 4 years or 3 years, they have not been coached by a good coaching staff at all. And so, this year, and we'll find out with Jeremy Pruitt if he's good enough or not to do that, which I think he is, that at least on the defensive side of the ball, that like when we have a Jonathan Combo who's a five-star number one JUCO recruit, you know, the recruiting services didn't get it wrong. Biz Jones and his coaching staff didn't get it wrong about recruiting him. They got it wrong by just saying, hey, we got him. All right, our job's done. He made a show. He made a televised show, not televised, computerized show about the recruiting classes. Like, no other team, I'm pretty sure, you know, does the big production like he did, because that was the only thing he was decent at. And so, anyway, that's my soapbox on that. But I want to hear y'all's opinion on, like, how do you evaluate, like, what do you picture as talent? Because I do it as solely on athletic ability, and all the rest is coaching.
It's a really good point, Zach, because Houston and I get it. We've gotten into this before, especially in the summer, and we're breaking down, or even on the basketball side of things a lot, because people use the word talent a lot of times to mean two different things. I tend to, and I have to catch myself because I think it's dangerous, because I tend to think talent is strictly athletic ability, like run high or run fast, jump high. All of the, like, combine measurables.
This,
like,
isn't the Antonio Callaway measurements,
right,
is it?
Right.
Run high, jump high,
he didn't make
play
a great catch
high.
On Sunday.
You know what I mean?
But I tend to think, when I say the word talent, I generally mean, like, combine numbers. And Houston has done a good job of saying, no, wait a minute, like, how accurate you throw the football just naturally without coaching is still talent. Like, it's that's still a talent measurement. You know, so it's, but everybody sees it a little bit differently on some spectrum of, like, natural talent of, like, if a guy's a great tackler, but he's just kind of born with a mean streak, and when he sees something to tackle, he just, because of his mentality, seems to tackle it better than another guy who's just kind of a nice dude and has to be almost coached on how to technically tackle. Like, that is talent, but there's no real way to measure that, you know? So,
yeah.
I tend to stick to just the combine numbers, but you have to factor in some of those other, maybe they're intangibles. I don't know how to describe it more than that. But I do think this team has a lot of guys that are strong, are faster than they play sometimes, because they're, you know, their head's kind of swimming, or they haven't been coached when to react and how to react to certain plays on the field. So I think you make a good point. Thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it. What do you think, Houston? Like, I mean, we've had that talk before.
Yeah. So, I guess when I say it, talking about this team, and maybe they develop, but I guess that's why we say, like I say explosion. Like, when I'm talking about the defensive line, I haven't seen a lot of explosion. Like, Kyle Phillips does a lot of things right, and he's big and he's strong, and if he hits you,
he's even fast for his size. He was chasing the guy the other day, and I was like,
he's a good
man. Phillips can run.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
And he does his job. And same with a lot of those guys on the defensive line. But I guess that's why I have to kind of separate it between talent and ability. And then this new word that I guess that our show is kind of using, maybe first in the market, coin the phrase, trademark, copyright. And that's explosion. Like Nate has said it before, kind of the quick twitch. And that's what I don't see a lot, frankly, on this team. And that goes for just about all positions on both sides of the ball. Now, you got some influx of quick twitch, in my opinion, when you went and got Bryce Thompson and Alante Taylor. I think Nigel Warrior is an explosive guy. I think Micah Abernathy, although he's a step slower, he has kind of the explosion. But where you don't have it is certainly your defensive line right now, and whoever's lined up at your outside pass rusher. They put Batuli there. Batuli is a guy who, not only is he a thumper and one of those mean, nasty tacklers that Nate was mentioning, but that's also a guy that, I don't know, he plays faster than he is, maybe. There are some guys who play slower than they are. Batuli somehow seems to play faster, and I think he played a lot faster when he was going after the quarterback. Jeremy Pruitt said, we're going to have to find some guys to rush the passer. I'm wondering if maybe 35 isn't a guy that they say, we can't afford to have you not causing chaos. Because right now, Of people that they have sent after the quarterback, the only one I feel comfortable with that could consistently catch a Greer, a Franks, hell, a Loxley, even a Jake Fromm. I don't even know if he could catch Tua. Tua's really good. And Stidham is right now Batuli. Like, Kongbo, I don't think can catch those guys. Darrell Taylor, maybe. He's looked a little slower this year, and maybe that's a byproduct of not knowing what to do. But right now, like, Batuli is the guy I look at and say, man, that is talent, that is ability, that is explosion. And then there's other guys across the roster, but I don't know. It's tough because we haven't seen it from a lot of them, and I don't know what the ceiling is because, frankly, this is a lot of these guys' first year in a real strength and conditioning program. Yeah. So I like that point a lot by Zach, that Kyle, like, where is Kyle Phillips today if he starts under a Craig Fitzgerald strength program as opposed to a who was the guy? And then the other guy that wasn't surgeon. Paid to be the guy, and then the other guy and the thing. And it's just like Jarek Garantano. We're seeing in 30 practices, look at how much more of a quarterback he looks like, right? Look at the stupid mistakes that he made last year that he's not making now. So where is he if instead of having 30 practices with a real quarterback's coach, he had all of his redshirt year, all of last year, and these 30 with the new staff? Because I think we all agree, Jarek Garantano has talent. He throws the ball well enough to play in this league. The question is, what's his ceiling under this staff? I think that's coaching. I think that's players around him, and I think it's strength and conditioning because he's a lot bigger now than he was when he got here. So I do think there's talent, but I think when the problem, Zach, is that a lot of people have taken the rankings and said, well, Kyle Phillips is a five-star and he's a senior now or a junior now, so this is the year he has to. And I agree. It's almost as if these guys aren't juniors and seniors based on their training, based on their coaching. You almost are, in a way, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, and I would say he would even say this behind closed doors, you're kind of starting with a bunch of freshmen. I would say if Jeremy Pruitt were to design a football test and give it to his team when he got here, they would not score well based on how he perceives the game of football, at least as a whole. So you've got to teach this entire roster essentially a new game, something they're familiar with, but it's a new game. It's almost new rules in the game, new way to play it. Then you've got to get their bodies in shape. Then you've got to get them to memorize not only your kind of team philosophy, but individual playbooks. So is there talent on this team? Yes, I think you're seeing it. I think you're seeing some of it flash. I just don't know how quickly they can get everybody to rise to whatever their level is. And frankly, some guys just won't. And you may not have time with a guy like Kyle Phillips. Like, Kyle Phillips scares me because he could be the guy in the back half of the schedule, has a really nice close to the season against teams not named Georgia, Auburn, and Alabama, and then goes to the NFL, and the guy just collects millions of dollars for years and is a really good player because he developed late. Guys like Derek Barnett, they came in ready. Derek Barnett was the best player on the defense the moment he got to campus. It's rare.
That's talent.
And it's good, right? And it's good to get him. Sure, and it's talent that you really didn't have to develop that much. Now, he did get one sack better each year, but that's why it's such a strange balance to me, and that's why, as big as this game is Saturday and as meaningful as a first season can be for a head coach, I just think there are so many variables that we need to weigh as we kind of judge Jeremy Pruitt through season one, because I'm trying to think of a situation. Like, look at Joe Moorhead. Like, Joe Moorhead inherited a super talented team that had the pieces in the right places. You had a quarterback who, and I knock Dan Mullen a lot, but Nick Fitzgerald's really good. Their running back is really good. They've changed their offense because Joe Moorhead hated that other offense, but they're doing things that suit their players, and their players are physically ready. Right, they know the game well, because that's one thing I'll give Dan Mullen credit. He teaches his players the game of football, and look at what I mean. They're
talented, but I don't think they're athletic. Kind of to more Zach's definition of talent, they're probably not any more talented than Tennessee is.
No, but they're but they're developed,
right?
And maybe in some cases they are. Like Jeffrey Simmons is probably better than anything Tennessee has. But it's a balancing act of you have to get talent, but then you have to develop them. And Tennessee's in this weird mix of, I don't think they're quite as talented in some areas as people think, and they certainly aren't developed over the last 4 years like they should be.
Well, Butch Jones was terrible at everything. And so the strength and conditioning.
Except the fashion
like,
show.
Like when you say, well, why aren't some of these guys able to be better faster? It's because, A, they're having to learn football. I think you're right. At Mississippi State, if you handed them a football IQ test when Joe Moorhead walked in,
they'd score a whole
level above. And then the strength and conditioning is bad. So when you're learning a new system, your strength and conditioning is bad. You don't know how to play the game at this level. All of those things create a situation where you look really, really slow, especially when you play like a West Virginia team that has checked all of those boxes. They've at least all been developed in the same system. They've all been in a cohesive strength and conditioning. Maybe they're a 3-star instead of a 4-star, but they've just They've just lapped you on everything else.
Right.
And so when you get put on the field together, one is better than the other. So, we'll, you know, I think it's an everything factor there. We'll come back, final segment, get back to more of your reaction on the phone line. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Final segment, hour number two of the program, is brought to you by Matlock Tire and Auto. Check them out online at matlocktireservice.com, the official tire service of 3 and Out and the Drive here at Fox Sports Knoxville.
Ain't no tire like a Matlock Tire.
matlocktireservice.com.
I'm starting it up.
Sounds good. I should have you cut that as a spot or something.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, liner. I like it. Let's go back to the McKinney team hotline. We got T-Carp on the horn. What's up, T?
T-Carp!
Hey, fellas.
Long time, no What's talk. Going? Wait. Where are you right now?
Out fishing.
I knew it. I don't know what I heard. I don't know if I heard water splashing or leaves rustling or the wind in the trees.
He has great ears.
But as soon as this thing came on, I knew you were outside. And doing something. I really don't know. I have to go back and listen. But the moment you said something, I think I heard a splash or a rustle. I have no idea what. I could feel it. I could feel it in my bones.
Yeah, I'm out fishing right now using a little white rooster tail. We'll see if I get anything.
It's a fish catching machine is what it is.
That's exactly right. Anywho, guys, I remember when I was a sophomore in high school and my first little practice, and I remember going back in the film room and watching, like, the first play. And it was literally me looking right and looking left, and the play, everybody went to the play, got tackled, and the guy got tackled and all that. I didn't, like, move three steps because I was so nervous and worried and frustrated. And I feel like that's the way some of these guys act on this team, like Kongo. I mean, he's been here for years, but it's the same thing, like, over and over. And he's not progressing and getting better. So when Zach says, oh, yeah, this team does have talent, yeah, sort of. I mean, it all just depends. And I think that Tennessee this week will do okay. I don't think we still have the horses yet to beat Florida. I just don't think we do. Now, if we do, I'll be ecstatic.
T-Carp, weren't you a 4-0 guy? Hang on. You were a 4-0 guy.
Yes, I was. I was until I saw West Virginia, and I was like, okay. But then ETSU, when you can't run the ball effectively or we can't impose your will on ETSU and UTEP, come on. I've got major concerns with the center, the two guards, and the right tackle. So technically everybody but Trey Smith I've got concerns about.
He wasn't very good. So.
And you've seen the film.
Yeah, I have.
I mean... I reserved the right to change my opinion after this game, but looking at it, man, you've seen where the guards whiff on the linebackers, and I'm sorry, ETSU's linebacker, or excuse me, Florida's linebackers are going to be much better than ETSU's and UTEP's.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I've got my problem. And if we come out and we do good, that's great. If we out-scheme them, that's great. I can't wait. I want to see it. But until I see us out-scheme a much better defense than UTEP and ETSU, I'm going to temper my expectations. And I love Tennessee, and I can't wait. I'll be screaming and yelling and all that from the house. I don't expect me to be rainbows and butterflies and sunshine thinking, oh, yeah, we're just going to kill them. You know, I reserve the right for that before the season, before I see them play. You know what I mean?
August is optimism season. I got no problem with people inflating the records. And especially this year. I said it all offseason. I was like, I'm going to wait until I see him before I feel good about any type of prediction.
See, I like to feel good. And, I thought that with that new center coming in, we'd at least be a little bit better on offensive line. But
yeah,
I was wrong.
That's true. That's true.
Anywho, guys. Well, I'm going to reel in this fish, get on a conference call, and listen to you guys afterwards. Have a good one.
Rub it in.
I'm fishing. My name's T-Carp.
Conference call.
Congrats. Some people work from the river. It's a good gig if you can get it.
I guess so.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to start fishing.
Random Tuesday.
I'm going to start getting a hotspot and Skyping in from Fort Loudon Reservoir out there. Just sitting up on this point, throwing top water. Don't mind me.
Hockey card from 4-0 to 2-2. Brandon Kenny was a big disappointment.
Yeah, he only played like a game.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean...
But in game
it can
one,
be,
yeah.
It can be disappointing that he got hurt, too. That's not a knock on him. That's just a...
What do you, what
something
do you,
can be disappointing without
the
person being...
What do you think about zone scheme versus man for this offense? As far as O-line blocking scheme. Like, does this make sense? Are they... Because isn't zone... I get it. People think, oh, you just go to an area. But don't you have to be lockstep and kind of know where everybody else is going to be so you don't leave a big old gap
for somebody
to slice through and say, oh, do you have him or do I have him? Oh, well, it's zone. Because it seems like we're doing a lot of the, oh, he'll get that guy and I'll get this guy, and then nobody touches anybody. Should they go to just, I'll get him?
I don't get it. Like, to me...
Have they done both? I don't even.
Yeah, they've done everything. Like, they've done all kind of stuff, and that's where I'm confused as a viewer and somebody that likes to be able to try and identify some type of trend or something. And I don't know. I don't know what the purpose is. I don't know if it's because they feel like they have to be able to do. I mean, they like to be able to do different things. I get that, but. To me, it makes more sense to have a bread and butter, and then when you go away from it, it's kind of a surprise.
Well, that's
what
I'm asking, though. Are they throwing in the man stuff because we're just not good enough at zone yet, and they want to be zone? Or do you think they should scrap one or the other? Like, what are they better at right now?
They're better at the gap schemes right now than they are the zone blocking.
Explain that to the good people.
Okay, so zone blocking is... If you want the simple way to look for it, zone blocking is generally when no one pulls, right?
Yep.
If they play, if they run,
line kind of moves as a unit.
Yeah. If they run a power play, that's a gap scheme where usually if they run to the right, the left guard will pull, they'll block down, and that left guard will then try and kick out the first guy he comes in contact with in the hole to create an angle where you create a hole. The running back knows where that hole's supposed to be, and they run for that hole. In a zone scheme, outside zone's the easiest one to explain. Outside zone, you hand the ball to the running back with his shoulders almost parallel to the line of scrimmage. He's trying to what we call press the hole. Every offensive lineman is taught, take one giant step in unison as a unit, like you're talking about, Houston. One giant step towards the direction of the play. Seal your guy to the inside. If you have no one, then help your buddy for a second as you move through and find the guy
at the second level.
If your defensive player is on you, tries to beat you to the sideline and just like rushes to get play side, then let him do that and then just wash him out as fast as you can. Take him the direction he wants to go. And the running back will press the hole and look for any cutback lane. Arian Foster, one of the best guys in the NFL, if you can kind of think back to that with the Texans, presses the hole, wait, see the big cutback, and then boom, hit it, one cut and go. To me, this line is built more for a zone scheme, but they're not any good at it right now, which is very confusing. We got to hit a break. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. It's Florida-Tennessee week right here on Fan Run Radio.